Hi, you're listening to Two Booked Up, a podcast about business and personal development books and the conversations they ignite. I'm Rowena Mabbott.
And I'm Shaylee Tonkin-Smith. Today, we're going to be talking about how you can lazy genius your small business. So if you're a business owner or a solopreneur, a mompreneur, or you're thinking about starting your own business and you want to do it with a little more ease and flow, in this episode is for you.
And if you're wondering where the term lazy genius comes from, it's from the latest book we're talking about, The Lazy Genius Way by Kendra Adachi. Being a lazy genius isn't about doing more or doing less. It's about doing what matters to you. In the last episode of Two Booked Up, we explored the 13 lazy genius principles as they apply to our personal family lives.
And today, we're turning the focus onto our businesses and reflecting where we use the lazy genius principles, as well as where we could be using the lazy genius principles a little bit more to make our businesses simpler and also more fulfilling.
And look, Shelley, I think that between us, we have nearly 20 years of experience running our own businesses. And I know you've encouraged many people to take the leap into entrepreneurship, and you've supported them with copywriting and getting them set up with a website or a sales page for their offer. So I'm very eager to hear your thoughts on creating a lazy genius business.
And I'm also eager to hear your thoughts, Rowena. I know you've been so committed to building a business that is simple and light. It's very lazy genius. And you've also supported many of your coaching clients to transition from a more traditional job to starting their own business. So listeners, you are in good hands today. Let's see how you can use Kendra Adachi's principles from her book, The Lazy Genius Way, to lazy genius your business.
So the last episode, we covered the 13 principles that make up the Lazy Genius Way and how we use them in our family and parenting. So today, we're going to explore those same 13 principles from the perspective of small businesses. So as I've said in the very first episode we talked about, after my first reading of the book, I felt this book was probably most useful for parents of young children, particularly mums, and probably less applicable for the business or the career type of stuff that I work with my clients around, because most of the content is geared towards those parents with quite young kids. And as I shared in that very first episode, you can extrapolate and you can look and find examples if you try hard, but there are no direct examples.
Yes, a lot of the examples center around household management. But as you say, we can extrapolate. And that's what we're doing today. That's really what the Two Booked Up podcast is all about. We're going to be using our knowledge and experience of running our own businesses, and we're going to share how we can apply the lazy genius principles. So let's get started with principle number one, which is decide once. So in your business, I see decide once coming through in terms of your packaging and your offers. So deciding on how you are going to work with potential clients and putting that together into some kind of package or offer. I find with myself, it saves me so much time if I don't have to do a custom proposal every time someone is interested in working with me. So put that together, and also then, even before that, have a clear idea of what you do and what you don't do in your business. And I think for many of us, it's tempting when you are starting your business and somebody comes along, and for me, it's always logos. Can you do a logo? And yes, I can do a logo for you, but it's really not in, it's not in my zone of genius, that's for sure. It's probably just barely in my zone of competence. And the problem is, if you start taking on too many things that are not quite in your zone of expertise, it's going to be really inefficient. So decide once. I do copywriting in my case. Rowena does life coaching and career confidence coaching with a particular group of people. And she's not going to veer too far from that. And then I'm going to just mention one other example for me with deciding once is to, in terms of my finances. So this references another book called Profit First. So I'm not going to go into that. I'd recommend Profit First highly. But Mike Michalowicz, the author, he says that you need to put away a certain percentage of your revenue for profits. So I have decided that every month, whatever revenue I get in, I'm not just going to like take all that revenue for myself. I'm going to put a certain percentage away for profits. I've also got a few other accounts. But he actually says, start small, which is the next principle we're going to chat about, and just 1% of your revenue, put that aside for profits. And I do that every month. It's something I've decided once that every month, and I think I've got it up to now 5%, that I put that away for profits. And at the end of my financial year, I've got this like bonus dividends from my company that I can purchase something that I really want and do something really fun with that money. So that's a decide once that has really positive benefits. And the trick is to start small. So that's lazy genius principle number two, Ro. How does start small come up in your business?
Oh, look, start small is such a great principle. And Shelley, I use it a lot in my business. And in fact, I use it a lot with my coaching clients. Because when we are starting out in business, and as we've talked about, a number of my clients often come to me wanting to perhaps take the leap from a more traditional role and maybe start their own business. And it's at this time that it's really good for us to start small. So some examples could be thinking about all the people who start out with a hobby, which they then monetize into a side hustle. That is a classic example of starting small. And as we've shared in earlier episodes, starting small can be with any form of change or any habits. You can also start small when you're already fairly well established or underway in your business and you want to make a change. So maybe you want to change the type of service or change the type of product you offer, or you might even want to change the types of clients you work with. So starting small can reduce the risk. And that's really important as business owners because most of us don't have a huge appetite for enormous risk where we want to just, you know, throw our business up into the air and hope it lands somewhere. So starting small reduces that risk and it helps us test the market to see if our idea that we've had is actually of interest to the market and will be viable as an offering. And Shelley, I know you've talked about before, like minimum viable offerings or minimum viable products. And starting small is really a beautiful link to that idea, which comes up in a lot of business books and a lot of marketing books as well.
Yes. You know, I think a lot of my clients, they've come to me wanting a big website and I've said to them, no, don't worry. You might not even need a website when you're starting. And that's why I also recommend rather just starting with a one-page sales page, a place on the internet where people can find you and what it is you offer. And yes, minimum viable product, I'm all about that, starting really small. And often the best way to do that is through a one-on-one kind of offer rather than putting together a whole bunch of maybe material for an online course or something like that. That involves a lot of preparation before the time. Where starting small means you just ask for one client to work with you and you maybe do a one-on-one kind of arrangement. So that's an example of starting small in your business. Honestly, I do teach this start small stuff, but as I shared in previous episodes, it's one that I struggle with. I get enthusiastic. I want to be big. I want to be bells and whistles. And so I'm in the process now of just creating a new website ecosystem for my brand. And there we go. Even the word ecosystem, that's huge. So I know you've helped me with this, is just keep asking myself, how can I make it smaller? Okay, how can I make it smaller than that? And then how can I make it embarrassingly small to just keep that motion going? Because otherwise I get overwhelmed. So that's one of my biggest takeaways from the Lazy Genius Way when it comes to business, is to start small. But I know the next principle is one of your big takeaways, right? Principle three, ask the magic question. Tell us about how that's impacted your business.
Yes, it is. It's definitely the biggest take-home message that I got from the book. The magic question is, what can I do now to make life easier later? And as I've shared, I think in probably all the episodes we've done about this book so far, I've been using it for everything. It's been super helpful for family and parenting, and I've also embraced it within my business. So within my business, for example, if I have maybe 15 or 20 minutes spare between appointments or before another activity, I ask myself this question. What can I do now to make life easier later? sometimes simply by asking it, that prompts me to move into action. So in my business, that can mean anything from maybe working on a blog post well in advance, so we get that links in with one of our other principles coming up soon, the batching one. It can be crafting social media to be used at a later date, or it could even be something really simple like tidying up my desk and my office so that it feels welcoming and ready for another productive session of work when I'm next sitting down to do my work.
It's amazing what you can do in like 15 minutes, isn't it? I think often think, it's not enough. And probably even 5 minutes, you can do a lot in 5 minutes. And sometimes doing it now is easier than if you did that same task later on. So I love that magic question.
Yeah. And I also think that it's even things like tidying your desk, it is so much nicer to come into a workspace knowing that everything's in its place and that you can just get straight into that work rather than having to find things. It feels inviting. Mm-hmm. So the next principle, principle number 4, is live in the season. And it's about naming it and remembering that this season passes, so to be enjoying it. So Shelley, would you like to share a little bit about this? Because I know this is a big one for you.
Yeah, as you say, it's acknowledging the season of life, the season of nature, but also the season of your business. So for example, your business might be in its early startup season. So that means that the tasks and activities that are not going to be scalable, they're taking up a lot of your time. It's probably you doing a lot of the stuff and you're like going to think, oh, this can't scale. That's okay. It doesn't need to scale yet. In this season, it's okay to do things that don't scale. Embrace the agility, rather, that you have as the startup solopreneur. You can be a lot more agile than a bigger company can be. If you don't even have people working for you yet, sure, then a lot more falls on your plate, but then you are not managing another person. So each phase of business comes with its own sort of sets of challenges and benefits. So enjoy the benefits, leverage those benefits, and name the parts that you don't like, the parts that are a little bit more negative. And I just wanted to mention that I've got a blog post all about launching from wherever you're at. So if you are a trailblazer in business, you would approach a launch in a certain way. Whereas if you're a little bit more advanced in business, I call it a biz boss, then you'd approach a different way. And then you get the CEO where you've like maybe built up a business, you've got people working for you. You can then approach a launch in a different way, but have to look out for other threats in other directions. So I'll put a link to that post in the show notes if you're interested in that.
What a fantastic resource. I do remember reading that resource myself when we were working together years ago and I was still in my trailblazer stage. So I can thoroughly recommend it. Now, just before we move on to the next principle, I just want to touch on this being in the season, because our personal season can influence our business too. So for example, when it's my personal winter, which might align with the calendar season of winter, but may not, I know that I have a whole lot less energy for my business. So a key part of this principle is doing the next right thing. And so part of that, when I'm in my personal winter, means planning ahead, which actually ties in pretty nicely with one of the other principles about batching. So what I do is, wherever possible, the key deliverables of my business, so for example, content like newsletters or blog posts or social media posts, are either prepped and ready to go, or even better, scheduled in advance, so I can just be in that season of winter, which for me means downtime and nurturing and just resting, which aligns with some of our other principles. But it also leads us to principle 5. So Lazy Genius principle 5, build the right routines. The right routines are on-ramps. Routines are on-ramps for somewhere else. They're not destinations. So the routine should serve us, not we serve the routine. And one of the things that Kendra talks about is, what type of day do we need to be consistently more prepared for? Now, in our businesses, it can be, what kind of activity do we need to be more prepared for, and build a routine around that. So in order for me to schedule and batch content to support my season, so for my season of winter, I've built some solid routines. The routines in my business support me to create valuable content in an effective way and optimize the time I have available to actually work with and for my clients. So even something simple like deliberately and intentionally choosing when you'll respond to email is a routine. So just deciding, well, I'm only going to do email first thing in the morning, and then I'll check it again before I log off for the day. And in the middle of the day, I'm doing my deep work. Those kind of routines, and you've decided it once and then you build it into a routine, that can actually help ensure your day is your own and not dominated by others' requests. So how about you, Shelley? Can you take us through the next couple of principles?
Yeah, well, these ones are interesting because we actually thought that they wouldn't apply initially, principles 6 and 7. So principle 6 is to set house rules. And so in the household, that was like, you know, having cubbies for your school bags and that kind of thing. But on reflecting upon this, I'm like, we absolutely need to set house rules in our business rules. And for me, one of these is like boundaries with clients, highlighting what you'll do and what you won't do, when you're available, when you're not available, how will you communicate? So I think a classic example of this is getting a good contract set up. And as Kendra says, the rules are there for connection, not protection. Contract is for protection, sure, but it also helps you and your client to stay connected because it just outlines and gives those boundaries so that you're communicating clearly. And now a contract's very dry and very boring, and I don't know if everyone always reads it, and there can be stuff that they miss. So I've actually found that doing something a little prettier helps a lot. So when the client comes on board, I do an intro packet for them. And that's actually where a lot of the contractual stuff gets communicated, but it gets communicated in a very pretty and personable fashion. And this has been a really fun way of just setting up the house rules of the business. And it just makes for clear communication afterwards. Very, very lazy genius, I feel. And then principle 7, again, we thought, put everything in its place. Other than like, you know, clearing away stuff on your office desk, does it really apply? But for me, I'm thinking document organization and digital document organization. Because right now, mine is in a little bit of a mess. I think it's a classic example of where I need to figure out how to start small. Oh my goodness, I've got multiple Google Mail and Docs accounts. I've got Dropbox. And in the last year, my husband and I did an office swap. So really, I'm in a bit of a predicament. But I think I need to do this decluttering to start small. And I think the answer might lie in a little bit of archiving. You know, it's essentializing, taking away the things that I don't need and only seeing in my face the folders that I'm kind of working with right now. Because I've got stuff since I started business in 2009. I don't need to see that today. So I think maybe the start small step might be like doing an archive where it's still there. It's not deleted, still there, but it's not in my face every day. That stuff, it needs a place, but I don't need to be going through it when I'm trying to find my tax number for a document I'm filling in now in 2022. Not that I do fill in many tax documents, I will say, because I'll tell you a secret that I have an amazing bookkeeper who happens to be my mom, and I'm really not sure what I would do without her skills. And I think that really ties into the next principle, number 8. Let people in. We have to let other people into our businesses. Even if we're solopreneurs, we need help and we need support. So, Ro, can you tell us more about how you have let people into your business?
Sure. So, look, principle 8, let people in. And in business, it's quite different from perhaps, you know, going for a walk with your friends, like I shared in an earlier episode. In business, it can mean reaching out to your network, and perhaps maybe having a biz bestie. It can also mean joining a mastermind or a membership or working with a coach like me. Now, all of these things I've done. I reach out to my network. I'm quite active on LinkedIn. I have a biz bestie. She and I are doing a podcast. You might be familiar with it. It's called Two Booked Up. I've joined a mastermind. Oh, yeah, that one. I've joined masterminds and I've run masterminds. Each year I do a different membership. So this year I'm doing a membership with a lovely coach based in the USA, and I'm meeting a whole bunch of people that way. So I'm letting people in, and I have an accountability buddy as part of that as well. So this is, and I also have another mastermind that I've been part of since the end of 2016. And I work with a coach on a regular basis. I choose different coaches based on what I need, because like all people, I recognize that if I want to have people come and work with me, then I need to also be improving myself, because I completely believe in the power of coaching to transform people's lives, including my own. The reason it's so important we let people in our business, and Shelley and I are great examples of this, is that through the process of letting each other into our lives and our businesses, we have someone we can share things with. And we've talked about this idea of celebrate, and it comes up in one of Kendra's other principles. But when you've got someone you can share your wins and challenges with and who can celebrate those with you, it's lovely to have that connection. And that's, we can't live without the connection and the community. But what's really important is also that those people can support you when things are tough. So when you're finding it, you've lost your way a little bit, or you're not sure, or you need a little bit of clarity, or you just want to bounce some ideas off someone, that's when letting people in your business, having that biz bestie or having someone who really gets you from a business perspective, is really valuable. And it's distinct from your friends and family who might get you in your other things, but their advice isn't, or their listening ears aren't always what you need when you're coming at it from a business perspective. So I do think it's quite key to acknowledge that the business side of letting people in may be different people than those that you'd need to let in your personal life.
Yeah, I agree. I think sometimes it does put a little bit of pressure on a personal relationship if you bring in everything, if you bring in all your business questions and all your, you know, all your personal things. I think it sometimes puts a little bit of undue pressure, and that person might lack the context of knowing what like kind of advice to give you. And the other thing I just want to pick up on there is, don't be afraid to ask people for their advice and their opinion. I think a lot of people are actually happy to give their advice. And I'll say here that obviously it needs to be reciprocal. So, you know, you could come and ask me for some copywriting advice, and then I would ask you, Rowena, for some coaching advice. And there can be that like reciprocal arrangement. And when you're asking for someone's opinion or advice, obviously be very gracious about it and say, any kind of help that you can afford me here would be much appreciated. And I am coming to you because you are the expert in this particular field. And just recognize their field of expertise without imposing. But I do feel that people are more happy to share their advice than you might think. And I think, especially in the content creation world, people are happy to receive questions that guides them on what are some of the trouble spots and some of the areas that they can write content on. So go ahead and ask people in a very gracious way for their advice.
Absolutely. Which also brings us to principle 9. Because this is all about how to build a business, at least one of the things that's been key for me, and that is batch it. So the idea that we've talked about in earlier episodes was this idea of batching, where you do a particular or a specific kind of task over and over before you move on to the next thing, and you aim to batch tasks that you generally repeat. Now, I think this is made for business. For me, batching is gold. I really, once I got hold of the idea of batching and really leaned into it, it's worked really well. So I do batching for a lot of stuff, particularly for content creation. When I'm writing, it's good to stick with the writing activity. So if I'm doing long-form content like an article or a blog, or if you're creating maybe a vlog, or you're creating podcasts, or you're creating a bunch of social media, or even newsletters, where you're doing a lot of the same type of activity, that means it lends itself to batching. If you haven't already embraced the idea of batching within your business, it is something I would definitely encourage you to explore and have a little experiment with, because there is big merit in choosing to decide once and then using that energy to keep the momentum going, which is in effect what batching does. Now, Shelley, I know you do batching, but in your own rebel way. Would you like to share about how you batch?
Yeah, and I mean, it's certainly something we've had to do with this podcast. We've had to manage time zones and all sorts of things. And also when you get a quiet-ish time to record, you got to batch all that recording time. That's really important. So that means you've got to be prepared to do recording, but I find batching my work week, like actually looking at my work week and going, oh, I'm going to be doing these kinds of tasks on these kinds of days, is important for me as a homeschooling mom. And I've got, you know, a different sort of childcare arrangement. So Fridays, my kids go to my mom and we kind of do their book learning first, and then they go to their granny for the rest of the day. And so that is my time for client work. And I try and keep that whole day free for deep work. So if I'm not working with a client, then I'll be doing some kind of writing deep work for my own business. But I keep it free. No meetings, no anything else. Really keep it open for deep work. And then I've got Monday and Wednesday afternoons, and those I'll keep open for client meetings. So if a client wants to check in with some copywriting I've done, I can just right away say, Monday afternoon, I know that's open. And then I've also got midday rest times. So that is when my kids used to have their naps. That's long gone now. But that is when I'll batch my email and my admin. So I use that time just to do a little bit of shallow work, try and get them to be on their own for as much as possible. But yeah, that's how I batch up my work. And really having that limited work time has forced me to do principle 10, which is essentialize. And I know it's the same for you, Ro, because you have got limited work time. We do not have the availability of a 40-hour work week. And I imagine everyone listening to this podcast has similar time constraints. So essentializing is really important. So Rowena, can you tell us a little bit more about essentialism and how you've needed to essentialize in your business over the years?
Sure. So a quick reminder, principle 10 is to essentialize. And the basic message from Kendra is naming what matters and why shows you what is essential. She reminds us that we have the ability to decide how we live. So again, there are three steps: name what really matters, remove what's in the way, and then number three is keep only the essentials. And with all things, just back to lazy genius principle number two, start small. So for examples, I essentialized my business in a slow process. So when I started my coaching business, I wrote a weekly blog post. So every week I put out a blog post. And for a little while there, I was sending a newsletter every 2 weeks as well, linking back to those blog posts. But then I decided that this was, after a year, it was a great introduction, but I was realizing I was spending more time writing blog posts than I really was working with clients. And actually, I needed more time to work with clients, which is a lovely situation to be in. So I moved from a weekly blog post to fortnightly. And then I did that for a few years. And then after that, I switched to monthly. And now I do a monthly blog post, which has freed up a lot of time, because what really mattered was having time to spend with my coaching clients and to really give them value. So that was what mattered. And I removed what was in the way, which is a lot of content creation. And I only kept the essentials, which was one quality blog post. So I write a longer blog post, and I just spend a fair bit of time researching and making sure that it's valuable. But I did start small. I moved through that process. The other thing that I've done is I actually essentialized in the content that I consume. So not just the content that I create, but the content that I consume. And I also limit the formats. So in favor, I've done this to basically free up more time to create content myself, but also to engage in more long form reading. So I had been reading a lot of articles, I'd been reading a lot of magazines, and I'd been listening to a heap of different podcasts, which I really enjoyed. But after a while, back many years ago now, I realized I wasn't reading as many books as I would have liked. So I now do audiobooks and I read books rather than having, you know, six or seven different magazines and articles and subscriptions to newsletters. All of that was to protect myself from overwhelm, as well as connect back to what really mattered. And it does tie nicely with principle 11, which is go in the right order. So just a quick reminder of principle 11, go in the right order. Step one is remember what matters, reframing the situation. Step two is calm the crazy. What one thing can I do that will most calm the crazy? And step three, trust yourself. You are the best person to know what you need. So Shelley, talk to us about how you use this principle in your business.
Yeah, you're assuming I do go in the right order. Well, like, I think after starting small, this principle is the most challenging for me. I do find I'm not a very good ordered person, but I notice it when I'm feeling overwhelmed. So I don't think it's always a problem for me, but it's when I'm overwhelmed that I think I need to go deep breath. And that's step one, to calm the crazy and to then actually break it up into steps. So I think going in the right order actually requires you to break up a big overwhelming project into steps. So already that's a great first step after the deep breath to calm the crazy. And that helps you find that first small step that you can take. So again, going back to starting small. And then the example that I can give of this is putting together this podcast. So now this is my third podcast that I've put together. And there is so much setup in a podcast when you're just first starting. It is a very overwhelming project. And so, yeah, for Rowena and I, we're in two very different time zones, 8 hours difference. At least we're in the same hemisphere. I don't know, that feels like we're a little bit more connected. But we had to decide on the format for the podcast. We had to decide how we were going to collaborate asynchronously, really, and then find a time to record together. And then it's all the technical aspects of setting up the podcast. So it was, okay, name what matters. Well, really, why we started this is to have fun. Other things that mattered is that we wanted to have content that really served our listeners. We wanted a way to create content that was easy. We're having a lot of these conversations anyway, and we just wanted to make it an easy way through. And so then in naming some of those things that actually mattered, number one, that we have fun, is I could then say, okay, so what doesn't matter? It's like amazing album art. Because that is a rabbit hole that I can go down. Like a whole full transcript of the show. Also, we tried to, you know, script out exactly what we were going to say. We decided that we didn't need that. We just needed some bullet points, talking points. But we had to kind of just reduce down and know that we could, the season of this podcast now is also in that startup, experimental type thing. We needed to get the basics done. And that helped us to launch this podcast, which you are now listening to today. So it shows the success of going in the right order. So yeah, that makes me think of one of the big things that you've helped me with, Rowena, not only with this podcast, but with those other podcasts and with business in general. Is to schedule rest. You've always been encouraging me, okay, have a mid-season break or get ahead of your podcasting content production process. So that's principle 12, which is to schedule rest. So yeah, one of the things that we've done with this podcast is to have a few episodes ready to go to buy some time, especially now in our Southern Hemisphere winter, time that includes rest. So if you want to embrace what matters, principle 12 says you need to schedule rest. Have you found that this has helped you in your business, Rowena?
Absolutely. My brain is always thinking about business things. I can wake up at 3 a.m. thinking about business stuff. It can be a Sunday and I'm, you know, it's 10 o'clock in the morning, Sunday morning, and I'm having a cup of tea and suddenly business things get into my head. So I have to be very intentional about scheduling some rest where I am deliberate in taking time away in order to be able to have that creativity when I come back to my business. So I think I can't emphasize enough that this is a really important principle for us business owners. And it's one that we should endeavor to apply regularly. I think once a year break is not sufficient, not if you are doing anything that involves creativity or anything that involves working with other people. To bring your best, you need to rest. There we go. There's a little catchphrase for us. To bring your best, you've got to rest.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah, because, I think you can often fall back into the old system of your job where, you know, you had to wait for your leave and you had to wait for your boss to kind of give you leave and that kind of thing. And when you're working for yourself, sometimes you don't give yourself that leave. And also, I find, especially with big launches and big projects, you need a little bit of downtime after that. You've got to schedule that in. So it could be things like that where you have to be intentional about it.
I agree. And it completely ties really nicely in with the final lazy genius principle, which is principle number 13, be kind to yourself. And I think this is really maybe the most important one, because when we are putting ourselves out there in business, there are, well, let's just say there are a lot of opportunities to make mistakes, but it is all part of the journey. We've all been there. We've all made, well, many mistakes. Let's say, let's just be gracious and say quite a few mistakes. Yeah. But we don't dwell on the mistakes. Instead, we learn from them and we embrace our growth mindset and we choose to see the opportunities for improvement. But we need to be kind in the way we talk to ourselves, because the harshest critic is nearly always the voice in our own heads. And being kind to ourselves does not mean telling ourselves off. It's not being a sergeant major boot camp kind of voice in our head. None of us need that. Rather, we need to reframe that negative self-talk and be focusing more on positive, expansive messages. As I said, turning it into, we've learnt from this, you know, taking that growth mindset about, well, what did I learn from this? How could I make this better next time? Now, this principle, principle 13, being kind to yourself, really does tie in a little bit with the principle 4 about living in the season, because being kind to ourselves looks different depending on what season we're in as well. And then celebrate. Now, I love this. As a coach, I'm always encouraging my clients to celebrate. Every small win or accomplishment deserves to be celebrated, because if we don't celebrate ourselves, it's rare that anyone else is going to celebrate us.
Yes. Celebrate all these successes that you have achieved. I think that's another part of building confidence in our businesses. Rowena's made me put together an I am a legend folder, and I'd recommend that to everyone listening. Whenever you get a compliment or just like some kind of a shout out or something like that, go and screenshot it or copy and paste it. Put it all in your I am a legend folder to celebrate, to show yourself. It's a kindness to yourself to show how amazing you are and how much you are building your business, how much you're walking into your true self and your true path for your business. So on that celebratory note, I think, Rowena, I can give you a high five all the way from across the Indian Ocean, because we have completed another episode of Two Booked Up. And next week, we are going to be wrapping up the Lazy Genius Way, but talking about this idea of naming what matters and how that plays into our decision making. So if you find yourself in decision fatigue a little too often, or have difficulty making decisions and difficulty kind of naming what matters, then tune in next week. We're going to help you to develop that filter and then to take action in your lives.
And I can't wait for that one, because it is such an important discussion. And I've seen how getting clear on what matters has absolutely transformed my clients' lives. So I'm really excited to dive into that. So, Shelley, before we conclude today, the last thing we need to do is share with our listeners what we're reading. So would you like to start and share, what are you reading at the moment?
At the moment, I am reading a book by Julie Bogart, who is a homeschooling mum. She has written a book called Raising Critical Thinkers. It's an excellent book, and it ties nicely with another book I'm also reading, Adam Grant's Think Again. This one is, how do we give our kids critical thinking skills? We can't teach them what to think. We have to teach them how to think. And this book dives into that. It's very challenging, but a really necessary read in today's media culture and equipping our kids for a world that we can't tell them what to think. They've got to know how to think.
I love that. And I have also read Think Again, but I'm not reading it at the moment because right now I'm in my winter, which means I'm trying to read more fiction. But today I'm actually sharing with you a book that I've just started listening to. So it's an audiobook, and it's called I Owe You One, and it's by Sophie Kinsella. So it's a complete escapist. It's laugh out loud funny. I'm listening to it when I'm walking the dog, and I'm probably giggling to myself as I walk through the park, and I probably look like a complete nutter, but it doesn't matter because it's bringing me joy. And really, the essence of reading to me is all about bringing us joy. And that is what we read. That's why we have Two Booked Up, is for bringing a bit more joy to our lives. But for now, let us know what you think about this episode and how you plan to lazy genius your business. You can find us on Instagram. I'm Rowena Mabbott on Instagram. Shelley, where can everyone find you?
I'm Shelly Smith Creative on Instagram, where you can comment on the post for today's episode. And you can also find the podcast website with all of the previous episodes at twobookedup.com. That's T-W-O bookedup.com.
And please tell your friends about Two Booked Up. Send them to twobookedup.com. Or you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
And once you find us on your podcast player, you know what to do, right? Yes, you must subscribe to the podcast. And you can also say follow. Some podcast players have different buttons. So that is the best way to get all of our future episodes.
Thanks for listening today, everyone. And we'll see you next time.